Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the Arts Desk at Muncie Civic Theater, the show Flat Stanley opens next Friday, and the Phantom Toll Booth a week after that. Details at MuncieCivic.org. Muncie Symphony is presenting Video Games Live on March 19th. They say it's an immersive event created by the game industry featuring the most popular video games music performed by the orchestra and a choir combined with synchronized lighting, video, live action, and audience interactivity. Anderson's Paramount Theater is the site of Anderson Young Ballet Theater's Ruby Anniversary Gala on Saturday, and they're hosting the Slick Music Studio Open Jam on March 20th. Details at andersonparamount.org. And Marion Civic Theater has Alleluia Girls opening April 10th. Well, it's sure been a busy winter for computer specialists across Indiana, including students at Ball State and other schools. A contest called the Indiana-Texas Challenge was designed to let the states battle it out to see who could create computer apps for government innovation. They call it a civic hackathon, hacking for good instead of stealing from banks and stores. Jonathan Heuer is Director of Emerging Technologies and Media Development at Ball State, where students have been working on the project.
The Indiana versus Texas Hack Challenge is a really interesting amalgamation of different groups. There's the chambers involved, TechPoint is involved, the business community is involved, the state government's involved, local government. And really the idea is to bring together smart people that can code and write apps and websites and all those kinds of things together to solve a problem for the social good. So the two challenges that we have for Indiana are, one is to streamline the permitting process that's used for IDEM, and the other one is to basically create a way to make the recovery after disaster much more efficient. So if you have a disaster, obviously, you might have lost all your documents. Technology is not going to be as helpful. You know, it could be flood, it could be tornado, it could be lots of different things. And so the idea is that to make that process more efficient, to get residents and citizens back on their feet faster. And so the real idea of all of this was to bring together all of these different resources into solving a problem with technology. And so what really happens in a lot of different scenarios is people think of hacking and they think of, you know, Anthem, they think of Target, they think of, you know, just the different breaches, and they think of it negatively. But there's a lot of things that technology can be used for and shared data and whatnot that are really positive. And so the idea of the first one is to kind of get things started by picking a fight with Texas, which, you know, has a lot of tech stuff going on and whatnot and is a respectable state. But the idea was to do that as the first one. But the future challenges, they want this to be a series that they do every year that will involve more of the private sector and involve more of the local, like an Indianapolis challenge, for example. And so that's the real idea behind all of it, is to bring together all these different things into one challenge for the public good.
So another way to think of hacking as problem solving, not necessarily breaking into things and causing havoc.
Exactly. And there's an entire website called Life Hacks that, and there's a lot of stuff out there online. And you know, just simple things that you can do that make your life better, and that at some level are obvious, but you know, you don't think about. One of my favorite that a friend of mine showed me was just when you're unloading the cans into your fridge, you know, if you just turn the box so the cans are all upright and pop the back of the box off, you can put your hands on the cans, pull the box over, and then all of a sudden all of your cans are nicely lined up in your fridge. Simple thing, but you know, just again, it's a simple solution to a problem. And so what hacking is really is solving a problem. Typically, it's solving a problem with technology, and the idea of these hack contests is to really focus a diverse set of resources, people that may be in a wide variety of fields, they might be in a wide variety of places, you know, public sector, private sector, stuff like that, bring them, all of those great minds together around a single challenge, and really focus that energy and focus that attention in solving a problem.
Who's participating from Indiana?
We don't know exactly who's participating in terms of the challenge. Now, the schools are involved, so Ball State, IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, Rose Holman, IUPUI, but there's a lot of professionals involved also. It is a competition. There is prize money in this first round, as well as other opportunities. So There is a belief that there are some people out there who are participating, but who don't want people to know they're participating. So they may not even show themselves until they submit the final product. There's also going to be a lot of people who probably get started about it and just can't finish the challenges for whatever reason. But it's hard to know. So this is obviously something that, first of all, it's a big field, the technology field. And because the technology field allows a lot of interaction without having to visibly, physically be present, we don't know. So it'll be interesting to see how many groups actually come out of the woodwork and are competing. We had a great set of launch events throughout the state that were well attended, and people showed up in person, but a lot of people also can attend virtually. So there's no real reason to force people to show up in person when they can participate in these remotely.
Have we heard about any all-star teams that have been formed to do this?
I haven't. There's some Ball State students I know of that are pretty excited about it. That's why it'll be interesting. This is the first one. And the reality is, again, the goal is to bring together a wide range of people to solve a problem. And what you have to remember is that data is becoming more and more prolific. The more that we have data out there, data is not actionable unless it's organized, unless it's useful. And so the idea is to put some data out there and see, now that this data is out there, what smart and talented people can do to bring it together to make it more actionable. And so, for example, one of the challenges that they did with a smaller group over the summer in Indianapolis was around potholes. So they used phones, basically just sitting on your dashboard, to collect data about potholes. And so it has GPS information and it has accelerometers and whatnot.
Sensors
exactly.
That tell when you hit a pothole.
Exactly. So then it basically reported the location of the pothole, as well as made a guess about severity and stuff like that. So the idea is, again, to produce this data that becomes actionable. So as one of the things that the governor is doing and the Indiana Office of Technology is they're creating these data hubs that bring together a wide range of data. And so when you bring together data from different things, you can find out, and it's hard to know what you might find out, but researchers and others can really find out interesting things. So for example, you might cross-reference various data from GPS information is great, but you might find information about drugs and disease or something like that that you wouldn't have found because they might be in separate agencies. Education might not be looking at drugs or so forth and so on. I don't know all the government silos, but there's a lot of stuff out there. And so by bringing this together, the idea is to see what can you find out. And then the long-term goal, of course, is to create predictive models to try to figure out ahead of time. And so the first challenge is pretty focused. It's relatively narrow. There's two challenges in Texas and there's two challenges in Indiana. And they had to do that to make sure that they could have a way for the two states to compete against each other, because the winners from Indiana will then compete against the winners from Texas. So that's why it's it'll be for state bragging rights. But the future ones will be much more open-ended. And again, what we're trying to do right now is really increase the visibility so people understand what this is and what we're trying to do. And that really is to say, hey, there's these smart, talented, technical people, and that all this data can really work in the public good.
There's a lot going on in technology in Indiana.
There is a lot going on in technology in Indiana, not just in terms of like code and creating apps and stuff like that, but also in terms of actual technical or physical goods, physical products that people make. And I think people don't know about it because you don't have to be as physically large and visible in order to really have an impact if you're making an app or if you're doing something small. So there's a lot of really cool stuff going on in Indianapolis and throughout the state that just doesn't get the kind of attention that you would think it would, because they don't need to. And so one of the main goals of the Hack Challenge, as well as TechPoint and others, is to kind of elevate that and let people know that these organizations exist, these companies exist. The reality is, nowadays, a very small team with an app can have a global impact. And I think people forget that.
Ball State's Jonathan Heuer talking about civic hacking, which is the name for the collaboration between software developers and entrepreneurs to invent new solutions using computer technology to help their communities. The Indiana-Texas Challenge, a hacking showdown between the two states, lasted most of February. Up next, one of the Ball State students who competed.
But you won't let those robots defeat me, Yoshime. They don't believe me.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
University students and computer professionals from across the state have just finished the Indiana Texas Challenge, a hackathon to see who could come up with the best apps to solve certain problems. We got to meet Jessica Losey, a very talented student on one of the Ball State teams.
What is it that you do, and how are you connected with the challenge?
I am a programmer, and I'm currently getting a computer science degree here at Ball State. And so I'm working on the challenge and working on like the back end and setting up all of the connections, I guess, of everything.
How much time will you all spend on this?
It's a lot of time. As of last week, we were working almost 18 hours a week on it, and now that kind of got cut back. So we're trying to find time around school and work and everything.
Is it fun?
I think it's really fun, and especially because like it's going to help so many people. I think it's more because when I first looked at it, we're working on the Department of Homeland Security app. And it was at first just like a quiz kind of thing. It was kind of like, oh, like that's not really that interesting. But then thinking about the application of that and where that can go, I got really excited about it and I got really interested in it.
What is it that your project will do?
When there's been a natural disaster and all of the companies of the government are there to help, they will answer a questionnaire about what they need, if they need housing, if they need food. And when they finish the questionnaire, it will print out a paper that says where they need to go and who they need to see, so they can easily tell where they need to go. And then all of the agencies can also see who they need to meet with and how many people they've met with to see kind of how things are going.
How'd you get started? Did you know, always know you would be doing this?
I had no idea. My grandfather was a computer teacher at my high school, so I was always around computers, and I originally wanted to be a computer animation major, and I can't draw, which is a big thing for animation, so it switched over to computer science, so it was kind of a trial and error kind of thing.
If you had to explain maybe to a student who was thinking about majoring in computer science, what is it that you do? What's the hard part? What's the fun of it?
I think the fun of it is there's so many different things that you can do with it. Like you can make apps, you can make websites, you can make software, you can make games. There's so many different options that you can go with. And it is hard because there's so many different languages that you can learn. But especially if you like specialize in one, you can do a ton of different stuff with it.
You really have to be into it, right? You have to be...
Yeah. You can't just kind of like, oh, this is a side thing. Like, you have to donate a lot of your time to learning and not really get frustrated easily.
You have to be able to kind of untangle problems, right?
Yeah.
Can you think of an example of a time when you did that?
I have actually done a lot of, like, when apps have problems, like, figuring out what's wrong. So one of the first things I did at the Digital Core was we made an app for the rec center here that tells you how many people are there. And for some reason, it was saying there was like hundreds of people there at midnight, which obviously isn't true. So I was tasked with figuring out why it said that and figuring that out. And it just happened that it's all done by card swipe to tell who's there, and people just weren't swiping it correctly. So then we did stuff to account for that, so it's a more accurate count on the app.
Do you think that opportunities for women in technology are increasing?
I think so, because it's not like as out there as it used to be. Obviously, with like people trying to get a more balanced thing, you're going to get more women in there. But I think there's also then women trying to prove themselves, so they're going to do a lot more than the men can. So I definitely think it's definitely opening up, and there's a lot more opportunities out there.
What are these students like, if you were describing them?
Yeah, I definitely say that I would be like a nerd or a geek. I mean, I love computers. I spend way too much time not like socializing and like doing like just programming instead. So there is like that misconception, and there are those people that absolutely fit into that stereotype, but there are other ones that are maybe not as social.
Undercover geeks?
Yeah, but like they still are like social and can like function in society, but still accomplish like a ton of really cool stuff with the nerdy technologies out there.
Jessica Losey, a Ball State student working on the hackathon competition between Indiana and Texas. Next, why the tech sector is growing in this state and the prospects for even more development.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
We've been talking about the Indiana-Texas Hackathon, actually a competition between teams of computer specialists from both states to see who can build the most elegant solutions to information problems typically faced by government agencies. Texas is home to such high-tech centers as Dallas, Houston, and Austin. But as Ball State's Jonathan Ewer reminds us, high-tech success isn't necessarily about location anymore.
If you have a team that might have five, six, seven people making a popular app, you know, that's five or six people. That's not that many. They don't need this massive building. They don't need all of those typical things that you would find in a larger company. And so one of the goals here, again, is to bring those people together and really bring some attention to this community that's doing both a great business, but also providing a great service to the state. And so on the college level, you know, you've got really, really good schools within Indiana. And one of my main goals is to connect students while they are still students to these various growing industries within the state so that when they graduate, they one, want to stay. Two, when you're first coming out of school, at some point it's one of the best times. You have fewer responsibilities in life. If you have a great idea, now's the time to do it. And because technology has lowered a lot of the barriers to entry, if we can connect those students with those business leaders for mentors, funding opportunities, and whatnot, then now's the time to take your shot. Indiana's a great place to do it. And then from there, we can see what happens. And that's actually one of the real goals of the Hack Challenge, is to help these groups, whether they're students or just individuals, they don't have to be students, to get some companies started. So the winner will be offered a contract. So they can use that if they want to start a company to basically continue to provide the service for the state, whatever outcome it is, whether it's Homeland Security or the environmental management solution.
Do you think that there'll be venture capital people watching this carefully?
Always a good question. All the big players in Indy are aware of it, and they're involved because everybody wants to grow this sector. There's a real need for software engineers pretty much everywhere. And so, we need to grow that sector. So I don't know about venture capital per se, but there's definitely an interest in seeing what can be done to nurture these small companies. Again, there's a real network that's kind of under the radar. Until you tap into that group and you're aware of it, I think that there's a lot of students and others who don't realize that there's this great infrastructure already in place throughout not just Indianapolis, but throughout Indiana, that connect all of these kind of tech ventures together. And so again, if you're not aware about it, then you don't know to go looking for it. If you don't know to go looking for it, then you don't realize that all the support's available. And so that's, again, one of the goals of this, is to just really elevate that and make sure that everyone is aware that all of these opportunities are available in Indiana. One of the big things to remember is that a lot of this technology stuff is not location-based. It's not location-dependent. If you want to start an app, if you want to start whatever, you can do it right here. There's no reason that you have to do it in, you know, Silicon Valley or in New York or something like that. Because when you upload to the App Store, it's available in 90-plus countries around the world, basically in infinite quality, basically immediately. And that's a big change from wanting to start a company, let's say, a decade ago.
In the past, we might have thought of tech centers as strictly the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. You had another tier of Denver and Austin. Mm-hmm. Is Indianapolis on the verge of joining those ranks or somewhere near there?
I think that as far as Indianapolis is concerned, and as far as Indiana is concerned as a whole, Indiana offers a lot. And I think that one of the challenges is you can't compete head-to-head with various cities or states because they're all different. Silicon Valley has a wealth of talent. They have a wealth of venture capital. They also have incredibly high cost of living. And they also have an incredible competition for the intellectual capital that's there. So a place like Indianapolis offers a great cost of living, a very friendly business environment, and has some great hotspots and other things that aren't advertised as widely that are attractive to the kinds of innovation centers and the kind of entrepreneurs that are starting these kinds of more internet-based companies. Now, you can very easily stereotype and say, well, you know, being family-friendly is at some level incongruous with starting a company where you might have to stay up 24 hours a day to get your projects done and whatnot. But what you find is that that's not actually true. There are a lot of people who are very creative, very innovative, and still want to have a family, still want to have a relatively normal life. And so what Indiana provides is that sort of balanced opportunity. What it doesn't have still is that venture capital base. And so again, it goes back to creating a culture that says, okay, we're going to invest some money. It will probably be lost. It will probably fail. But that's okay. We understand that. And so that's the real challenge that some of the stuff that gets funded in Silicon Valley, you're just like, why on earth would anyone fund this? At some level, it's a terrible idea, but they're almost too far the other way. Like, they celebrate failure so much, they try almost too much. I have a lot of friends, obviously, that work out in the Bay Area, that work in LA, that work in New York. We've got a lot of really successful students that have also left Indiana and done that. And I think that the reality is, the hard truth that everyone needs to hear is that you can do what you want to do in most cases, especially with technology, wherever you are. And so a lot of people use it as a crutch. I'm going to move there, and then I'm going to do this. Well, the reality is, if you want to do it, you're going to be doing it wherever you are. So if you want to innovate, if you want to make things better, if you want to make movies, if you want to make apps, if you want to do whatever it is, you're going to do that wherever you are.
When we talk about the idea that success in tech isn't location specific, are there things, do you think, that places like Muncie and Anderson could be doing to become more attractive to young developers?
I think that there's always things that city and county governments can do. I think that one of the biggest challenges that Hoosiers face in many ways is there's a concept of celebrating failure and of having a a soft landing. And so the idea being that if someone takes on this innovation challenge or if somebody tries this entrepreneurial venture and they fail, that that's okay.
It shouldn't be the end of their career.
It shouldn't be the end of their career. If anything, we should celebrate that failure. And I think that both in the academic world and then early out of college and whatnot, Silicon Valley and some of these other places have a much more acceptable failure rate. Like, failure is just okay, and everybody's been through failures, and everyone realizes how much you learn through failure, and they celebrate that more. I think in Indiana, one of the challenges is there is a belief, whether or not it's true, that soft landings are harder here, and that if you don't take a more traditional job, and that if you don't fit into more of that traditional mold, that you will not have opportunities after that. Now, whether or not that's true is a different story. But think about the way that most classes work, right? You fail a class, you have to take it again. Instead of, okay, you failed, what did you learn from that failure?
Jonathan Heuer of Ball State talking about Indiana technology and the recent spotlight on the tech sector. The state this winter has been competing in the Indiana-Texas Challenge, a form of what's called a civic hackathon to see who could create the best computer apps for government innovation. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beauty Rest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.